Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player Podcast. I'm your host, Jay, the number 215 forever. Follow your boy on IG. And on my IG page is the podcast page that is at KnowYourRolePlayer_podcast. The best way that you can listen to this podcast is to download the Anchor app, anchor.fm/KnowYourRolePlayer. Whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, or many, many more episodes, you will get the ones that are currently notified becomes available to you. All right, guys, welcome back. If you hear the energy in my voice, then you must know that somehow, some way, my Philadelphia 76ers have done it. They brung me back. I've been a jaded Sixers fan all season. I have been a cautiously optimistic Sixer fan all season. And I'm not going to lie, they got me, y'all. They finally caught me. All year I was saying, no, this team won't get me. I know what's going to happen. And I still kind of know what's going to happen. But I have chosenly to become emotionally invested back into my team, right? And I know you might thinking, well, you should always be emotionally invested in your team. Well, when you kind of know the outcomes of some things, you kind of, you know, I don't know, if you kind of see what happens, you real ones know. All right, so listen, enough of that. So last night, my Philadelphia 76ers pulled out an amazing win, defeating the Miami Heat 105-104. Now, don't let that final score fool you. This game was all types of problematic for the Sixers. First of all, we got out to a slow start. Miami went to zone, and the Sixers act like they couldn't score in the zone. Our scoring was bad. Embiid was turning the ball over a lot in the first half. Maxie was turning the ball over a lot in the first half. And it wasn't working out, you know. Then Jimmy Butler was constantly getting steals. I think he got like 5 steals. He did get a kind of a bad injury early on in the game. But I got to be honest with y'all, man. This was a gut check win. Now, I got to give you all the Embiid update report. So since the game where he kind of tweaked his knee, I didn't love what I saw. It was definitely some leg dragging. I thought like he was kind of hesitant to kind of make burst quick twitch moves. I don't know, y'all. He's definitely not 100%, but he's definitely not 50%. He's somewhere in battling between. So hopefully he can get in better shape. Hopefully he can keep running and respond well. Now, the thing with the playoffs is it's every 2 days. So however he feel, man, it ain't going to get no better, man. So, you know, we'll see about that. But forget all of that. We got to give a shout-out to hashtag KnowYourRolePlayer Nicholas Batum. Fourth quarter yelling, why is Batum in? All right? Real ones know what that's about. So listen, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I've already talked about this before, that Nicholas Batum has already beaten the washed allegations, right? When he was on the Clippers, everybody told me he couldn't play anymore. I used to watch him a little bit, nothing too crazy, but I was like, yo, he can't play anymore, can't shoot, washed up. Between the entry passing, the quick twitch jump shot where he just gets that shot off super fast, and the IQ, right? The thing about the Sixers team is there are so much better versions of the Sixers than this team, but this team has a higher IQ due to Kyle Lowry and Nicholas Batum, right? Now, while both of those guys have their limitations that they became older in their career, they really are smart players. Batum's passing, decision-making, and defense was amazing last night. I mean, he gave the Sixers a punch in the arm when they needed it the most. I mean, real quick, 6 out of 10 from the three-point line, 7 out of 12 from the field goal line, finishes with 20 points and 5 rebounds, had a crazy block on Tyler Hero. He said at the end of the game that the Sixers coaching staff had did a lot of film room, and they talked about that play, and he moved into defensive position after initially getting beat on a little inside hezzy move and defended Hero really well, man. I was just proud. Even Embiid, as much as I didn't love how he played, 23 points, 15 rebounds. Y'all know what Embiid always get on his rebounding, and rebounding is a part of effort. So it's very important to make your impact wherever you can. So the thing with this game and the Sixers is, one, it's macro and micro, right? It's important because Embiid made smart passes. You know, before in the playoffs, he would force shots, and sometimes even in the regular season, he'll kind of take on two players, right? He did a really good job in this game of kind of, all right, I'm not going to force it. But in the fourth quarter, he was much more aggressive. He found his spots. You know, his jump shot was hitting. Physically, he doesn't look great. I'm hoping that, you know, I don't know. I think playing in New York would kind of get him going a little bit. I mean, playing Miami should get you going too, but that's definitely two different environments. But it was a gut check win, man. On the other side for Miami, injuries have plagued this team all season, right? And they're not out of it. They have to play a play-in game versus the Bulls on Friday, but it ain't looking good. Now, there were reports that Jimmy Butler, I don't know if it's official, but there's some reports his problem with his knee, right? So he's already ruled out for the next game on Friday. So that's not great, right? And so we look at the guys who have to step up in Jimmy Butler's absence. I look at one player, Bam Adebayo, right? And I'll talk about them in Chicago in a second. But real quick, for this game, Tyler Hero was kind of the only player outside of Jimmy Butler that was a scoring chance, right? I thought that the rookie, if I can find him, where is he at? Jamie Jaquez Jr. was really solid, hitting open shots. He did some really good drives. We kind of did a couple of dribbles, put the ball into Embiid's chest and finished off the glass with his right hand. I liked what I saw from him. Haywood Highsmith is a high-energy player, but the same thing is there for the Heat. You know, as much as they try to yuck the game up, make it ugly, play zone, find a way to win, this team isn't that good, right? And I kind of said last year, and I've been hesitant to say it, that I think the ghost of last year's team haunts people. Now, it's very easy to say that with Jimmy Butler now out for the game. That's really easy. And for most of this game, we were losing. I did not think the Sixers were going to win this game. Even though we were favored to win, I didn't feel good about we winning this game until that game ended. Let me be honest with y'all. The Sixers find ways to lose games. They implode. The turnovers were bad. The shell shock look was bad. The decision-making was bad. I mean, don't get me started on Tobias Harris. So let me start with the good from young Tobias first, right? He did a good job of rebounding and passing, right? He did finish with 10 rebounds and 4 assists. So, one of the biggest problems for the Sixers is rebounding, and I thought he did a really good job rebounding. But, 9 points is not going to get it done. 0 out of 3 doesn't bother me. You know what bothers me? You know what? It's not hitting a 3 doesn't bother me. It's the 3 attempts. Dog, why do you not have 6 or 7 three-point shots? For some reason, he has forced his game to take these ugly mid-range shots, and he doesn't get enough threes, and that is, to me, why he shouldn't be on his team, right? It's because the value that you could have on his team as an elite spot-up three-point shotter, you have fixated yourself on these horrible, ugly jump shots that you're not good at, and you hunt bad shots. You do, right? And I got to give credit to Nick Nurse when it was due. He benched him, right? He got tired of it, and he had to sit on that sideline. Kelly Oubre is probably the most Jekyll Hyde player I've ever seen, right? So this guy went from no passing to legitimately trying to make some passes. But the thing is, we really need him, right? He had a really big and one late with about 27 seconds left off a beautiful pass from Embiid. After Embiid got double-teamed from about the top of the free throw line, help came on the strong side, so he kind of did a quick pass, and Oubre did a little push shot and kind of made a big shot to push the Sixers on, man. This was a great win, man. This, like I said, I definitely got emotionally invested into this team, into this game, and it was fun, man. It was fun to see the Sixers team. I don't love the Sixers team, but there's parts about it that I liked. You know, there's some shooting, there's off the bench. But listen, it all comes down to the big fella, all right? He's got to get healthier. He's got to play better, right? And I thought that he did do a better job being more aggressive, looking for a shot, looking to score in the fourth quarter, and it's not going to get no easier playing the Knicks, you know? And that's my thoughts on that. So let's talk about the second game, y'all. Whew. All right, let me calm down a little bit. So the Atlanta Hawks lose to the Chicago Bulls 131-116. What can I say about the Atlanta Hawks, man? Let me start with the good. Clinton Capela played a really good game. I thought he played phenomenal in 38 minutes, finished with 22-17, was a monster in the glass, hit a bunch of tough shots inside, and was really a good paint presence for him. I also thought that DeJounte Murray was pretty decent. I do have to give him credit for improving his jump shot. You know, I remember early on in his career where he was just a jitterbug, kind of getting to the paint and finishing. His mid-range is pretty solid, and his three-point shot is getting better. It's getting better. But here's the thing with this team. They're not good. They don't play any defense, and they lose. That's all it comes down to. Yo, the Hawks' help defense is horrible, man. Like, it wasn't even a crazy dribble penetration. It was just wide-open shooters, a lack of effort and defensive intensity. And I still believe in the coach, right? I still believe in a lot of these players, but change has got to come, and change has got to come now. I don't know who's the guy getting the X on the Hawks team, right? I don't know if it's Trae Young or DeJounte Murray. They're kind of invested in Trae Young, and I don't know what the market is for him. It's weird because he's such an accomplished player, right? Again, there's not many players with him that can score as much and pass as much as at the high level, but his defense and is kind of putting the right five-man roster around him, right? All game, all night in this game, Kobe White did whatever he wanted to. He took Bogdan Bogdanovich, ISO'd him up, hit him with a little layup off the left-handed side. Who else? All these guys got cooked by him, and they just couldn't stop dribble penetration all night, right? And then on top of that, I got to give DeRozan some credit. Even though he didn't score a ton, only finished with 22, he did a really good job facilitating with 9 assists. And I'm not going to lie to y'all. I got to get the numbers to back it up, but his three-point shot looks a little bit better to me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm tripping. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment. But I think his three-point shot, from where it was, like when I see him shooting three now, I'm like, yo, if it's a corner three, he got a chance to make it, you know. I'll get into the numbers a bit later, but I've been pretty bullish on DeRozan. I think, again, he's obviously underrated because he's tremendously accomplished. But I don't know. I thought he was really good in this game, but it's just – I know the Bulls aren't good, but it doesn't matter whether the Bulls are good now because I know the Hawks are worse. They're just not going to play no defense, right? Outside of Capella rebounding, their help defense was horrible. Nobody helped the helper. Help the helper. When you see a man go rotate, you got to go rotate the way he was. And nobody did it all night. Open shots, dribble penetration. I don't know, man. It just was like, I don't know. Some things got to change, and changes are coming, and axes are coming down. I don't think any coaches are getting fired, but team philosophy, team structure, roster building, all of this stuff will have to change, right? I talked about Coby White. Alex Caruso is a guy that should be on the Sixers at some point next season because I would just love him there. He's one of my favorite role players. All he does is get steals, play nasty defense, and hit open shots. That's all he does. Pretty good game. Dosama was really solid in 41 minutes. Well, that's crazy. They didn't really go to their bench. They kind of stuck to all their big, all their starting five. 43 minutes by White, 37 minutes by Vucevic, 44 minutes by DeRozan. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do in the playoffs, but I don't know. It was like the worst of two evils, right? I got to give Chicago credit. And one thing I will say is that home crowd was pretty intense, man. For a team that we all know isn't good, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it looked like a pretty full house in there. I got to get some numbers out, but I did like what I saw from them, all right? So, let's talk about Friday, okay? So, Friday, the Bulls and the Heat play. I believe Miami is still favored to win this game, but I'm going with the Bulls, y'all, right? Now, Miami's at home, and that's tough. Now, Jimmy Butler is officially ruled out. Here's the thing. With Jimmy Butler out, a couple of things happen in the dynamic changes. I don't know if we get Terry Rozier. I think it does matter, but the dynamic changes, right? Because with Butler out, Bam's going to be much more aggressive looking for a shot. They're going to run some offense to him. And Hero, even though they lost, he did get up some shots. He finished with 25 on an inefficiency shooting from the three-point line. I think they get much better versus the Bulls. And it's going to be a really good game, right? And they're expecting the game to be pretty ugly with a total of 205. So think of a ton of rebounding and a ton of defense. But I don't know, man. Again, it's two ways to look at this game. Coby White continues to stay hot. DeMar DeRozan, they're not going to have really nobody to guard them, and they're going to be able to out-rebounding. Or the other way is that the Heat wake up and they kind of show something offensively. I lean towards the Bulls, and my pick would be the Bulls to win this game. Next, Kings and Pelicans, another game where a star player is injured. The Pelicans are home, and the Sacramento is a road favorite. They're favored to win this game. Okay, here's the thing. In the last matchup they played, it was offense a-blazing, right? I think the game will be a little bit uglier. If I'm the Pelicans, pace is everything, right? I want to slow down the pace because I think that the Kings are better in the running up and down, shoot 'em out game. I don't think the Pelicans are bad in that, but if they don't have Point Zion, I think it's much tougher, right? And so the decision has to be made on Willie Green. Willie Green does not like playing Jonas Valanciunas a lot of minutes because Valanciunas isn't a great defensive player. He's much more comfortable playing Larry Nance. But to me, again, to me in this game, in this matchup, I think you got to kind of stick with Yo Val, right? And the reason is because I think just, if I'm being honest with you, Sabonis is going to just do whatever he wants with Larry Nance. He's too small. He just don't weigh enough. He can push him around. With Valanciunas, you're going to get bumped back. You might get scored on, but you're going to get scored on back. I do think he is an effective rebounder in this series. And historically, he has rebounded and scored well versus the Kings. And again, when you're down your best player, which Zion is, you need the next best big to play, and I'm just hoping that Willie Green sticks with him. Again, I understand that sometimes Valanciunas can give up points, and he can kind of let the defense break down, and he kind of has a little bit of a quick hook on him. But to me, to win this game, You need a strong game for Valanciunas. You need C.J. McCollum to get angry about the Sacramento Kings not drafting him and give them the business again. And you need Trey Murphy, right? The other big thing was the shooting. Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, those guys are going to have to shoot 10 threes probably each, and they're going to have to get hot from the outside because their paint presence won't be the same. Dribble penetration will be really important by C.J. McCollum because he's going to have to get inside the paint, and then hopefully we get a better version of Brandon Ingram, right? He's still coming back from that injury. You know, didn't look great the last game, but hey, no better time to look great versus a King defense that isn't good. Now, as you remember before in the Golden State series, Keon Ellis was a really big defender on Stephen Curry. He got a couple of big shots, threes. I think he hit three threes in that game, or four, excuse me. Had some really big key steals, and he'll probably be the primary defender on C.J. McCollum. So the thing is, Brandon Ingram can really come in too, and it's kind of weird because Ingram and Zion kind of have this thing where they don't both go off together. They kind of play better sometimes when the other guy isn't there. And, you know, I just say that to be honest with you, like, I'm expecting Brandon Ingram to play well. This is a much weaker defensive team. He'll have the ball in his hands a lot more. There'll be some spacing. We'll see, man. I'm still going to go with the Pelicans to win this game. I'm going to expect a bounce-back performance from them. They're at home, which, I don't know, can mean something, but I'm expecting Trey Murphy to be much, much better as a shooter, right? Okay, so that's it for that. Now, the playoffs are here. The playoffs start Saturday, so how are we going to do this? What I want to do is this. Friday night, I want to try to do the NBA award show, and I'm not going to make it too long. It's going to be long, but maybe 45 minutes. I'm going to try to condense it as much as I can. I'm going to do my honest picks, my honest thoughts. Again, you can agree with them, you can disagree with them, but the most important to me is to believe and show you what I believe. It can be the case. I respect a lot of other writers. And again, I can be wrong on all of these things. I can tell you who I expect to win, but I'm going to tell you who I voted for, right? And that's just how it is. Okay, so real quick, let's go over Saturday's picks because Friday, remember, we're going to only talk about the NBA awards. So let's go over Saturday's picks right now. So at 1 o'clock, the Orlando Magic play the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland is home and they're favored by 4. So this is an interesting series, right? Because to me, it's kind of like backcourt versus frontcourt. The one weakness in the Magic as a team is their backcourt. Although they're solid and they can shoot some threes, there's not a ton of dribble penetration. The ball handling is average. And just the overall talent level of the Orlando Magic guard play, you know, it's nothing to be impressed with. If you look at Cleveland, you have Caris LeVert. You have Darius Garland. You have Mitchell. You have a lot of guys that can score, dribble, pass, shoot, and they should really have an advantage there. Now, the primary matchup in this game obviously is going to be Paolo Banchero versus Evan Mobley. Now, in a couple of games, Banchero's kind of cooked Mobley. Now, it's going to be a little different at home. This is my thing. I think for the most part, with the Magic, they kind of struggle with the above the break three and three-pointing. But I think the guard play of the Cavaliers is just better, and it's very important that they win the series. To me, not that it matters, but the Magic have already exceeded expectations. Now, with all that being said, they're going to come out, they're going to play defense, but I'm expecting the Cavaliers to win this series in 6, and I'm expecting the Cavaliers to win game 1. Suns and Timberwolves. Okay, I got to be honest with you guys about this game. As much as I don't like the Suns, I actually really like them to win game 1. And this series should go 6 or 7. So here's my thing. The Suns do a lot of things that I don't like. They have a bad fourth quarter. They give up a ton of points. They're not good offensively. But one thing that they kind of do give, I thought when I watched them, it was kind of easy for them to get their shots versus Minnesota. Now, obviously, rebounding will be key. Physicality, will be upped. And playing at home will be a difference. But I don't know, man. As much as I love the Timberwolves, I want them to win this series. I want to be wrong about this, but game 1, I'm going to have to give to the Suns. This is a pick'em series. My heart tells me that the Timberwolves win this series, but the basketball mind in me says if Anthony Edwards isn't 100% and you got Beal, Booker, and Durant, those guys should get whatever they want, right? And outside of Edwards, who else is going to really give you a scoring punch? Now, yes, Karl-Anthony Towns is back. He should be able to get some open shots, but I don't know, man. I'm a little bullish on this series, man. I'm worried about it because I feel like the Suns can get the Timberwolves out of the game, right? But at the same time, I don't like the Suns, and I hate the way the Suns execute in fourth quarters, which is where Minnesota can come back. Minnesota's also collapsed, and their offense has been kind of meh, and it's very important of who is the closing lineup for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Is it Naz Reid? Is it Karl Anthony Towns? That's going to matter, and that's going to matter by a lot. But again, I'm going to trust my gut, and I'm going to pick the Suns to win game one. I hope that the Timberwolves are going to win in seven. I just don't think the Suns Here's the thing. I think the Suns are not a matchup better versus the Timberwolves, but I think the Timberwolves are an overall better team. I think the Suns are bad at executing in fourth quarters, and they can kind of fall apart a little bit. Now, Minnesota isn't a great offense by any means, and their rebounding should be the big key in this, but I don't love this matchup. I don't. I think the Suns can kind of upset some people. The Suns are going to win game one. We'll see how the series goes on. All right, Knicks and Sixers. So let me get the fan out the way. I'll let y'all talk to Josh, the fans, but let me let y'all talk to the analyst, right? Or the basketball guy. Let's take away analysts. This series, to me, is going 6 or 7. Jalen Brunson has a lot of success versus the Sixers, even though the Sixers are pretty decent as far as guarding point guards. The biggest wing player as far as role players, #KnowYourRolePlayer, is definitely Josh Hart. Okay, so if you want to attack the Sixers, it's going to be on a defensive and offensive glass. We're not a good rebounding team. Outside of Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris is solid, but there's not too many guys that are going to rebound. Yo, when Josh Hart plays the Sixers, he smokes us. The minimum is 10, honestly. It wouldn't be crazy. And again, they're going to have to make sure to keep a body on him, and nobody hasn't done that all season. But I honestly expect him to get 12 to 14 rebounds per game. So the key in this series is going to have to be Embiid's passing, and I'm going to tell you why. The Knicks are not going to let Joel Embiid go one-on-one on Hartenstein and the backup centers and just score them at will. They're going to help. When Embiid does his little shimmies and shakes and kind of drop step and pivots, they're going to send help. So it's very important that the corner shooters for the Sixers are open and ready. Now, the corner shooters can change because a lot of times Maxey's at the top of the key. So you're going to have to ask yourself, is that Kyle Lowry? Is that Tobias Harris? Is it Nicholas Batum who got a lot of corner shots? It is very important for the Sixers corner shooters to make shots because that's what broke open the Miami game, right? Because when it all comes down to it, as a defensive coach, as Tibbs, you're going to say, we're going to make it harder for Joe, make some of those other guys beat you. But the Knicks do give up open 3-point shots. Now, offensively, it's going to be tough because I think Jalen Brunson is going to make it a point to attack Joel Embiid, and Embiid didn't move well. And then you look at the Sixers, well, we're going to have to help if Embiid's not 100%. And if we help, Dante DiVincenzo has been killing it all season from three. You know, Josh Hart is a decent 3-point shooter. If there's any guy you leave open, it's probably him. But you can't leave him wide open because he's still a professional, right? So you help off of him, but you're going to have to help him recover fast. And like I said, it comes down to Jalen Brunson. He's going to be special this series. They're not going to stop him. He's going to average well over 30 points a game. He's done it all season, but I don't know, man. We're going to have to attack him with Maxey too. The good thing about the point guard matchup is even though they do have a better point guard right now, we can still win the point guard battle, all right? And maybe we can be close to production where, I don't know, if your boy Maxey Brunson has 28 points, maybe Maxey could have 24, right? It's those other guys. So if you look at the point guard matchup, you obviously give it to the Knicks. The center matchup, you obviously give it to the Sixers. Yo, I'm not giving the power forward matchup to the OG's a better player than Tobias Harris. All right, I'm sorry. Tobias does, funny enough, have good series versus the Knicks, man. He does usually rebound versus this team. He kind of finds whatever shot he wants. They're not going to win this series without him. This is going to be an ugly series. I don't think it's going to be high scoring at all. The Knicks like to slow the pace down and run a lot of pick and roll. We'll see what happens, but it's going to be intense. I do think Embiid's going to get up for the game, but I think the Knicks win game one, man. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I think the Sixers can win this in 7 games. I don't think this is serious. It's kind of a pick 'em team. You have a team in the Knicks that's kind of more cohesive. They've played better without Julius Randle for most of the season, right? They know what they are. They know how they're going to get their shots. They know how they're going to score offensively and defensively. So with the Sixers team, you're getting Embiid back, and you're trying to reestablish things. Reestablish inside-out basketball. Reestablish three-point shooting. Reestablish Embiid as a passer, as a finisher, as a scorer, as a three-point shooter. So it'll be interesting to see, man. It's a pick'em series. That's what I'm going to tell y'all. If I had to pick, I'll pick the best team with the best player to eventually pull it off, which would be the Sixers. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Sixers lose. The Sixers need to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, man. They have to start having some success in the playoffs. And I understand that this is a tough matchup, but they're good enough to beat the Knicks. This Knicks team is a 2 seed, but they're not impossible to beat. All right, so the game that I'm not going to lie to y'all, I'm probably going to be looking forward to the most is the Lakers versus the Nuggets. So y'all already know what happened. Last time the Nuggets and the Lakers played, it was brims out, all right? The Nuggets swept the Lakers. And I've been doing a lot of reading. I've been doing a lot of YouTubing. I've been doing a lot of people articles reading. And I asked, well, what's different about this Lakers team? To me, not much. The only few differences is that Bruce Brown is in here, and he was a big factor last year. Also believe that we have a better version of D'Angelo Russell. Now, history shows itself that D'Angelo Russell has poor turnovers in the playoffs. His shot selection in the playoffs is really bad, and he just struggles sometimes. And with Jamal Murray, he might struggle defensively sometimes. But I do believe he's a lot more confident, and he should be something offensively. I also believe that Austin Reaves is going to have a big series, right? Sometimes towards the end of the season, he kind of struggled a little bit, but he had a really big role where he got a ton of open shots. They really didn't have a matchup for him. He kind of did whatever he wanted to, right? Rondo talked about the other day of attacking Jokic and putting him in action. Here's the thing to me. The one thing you can't allow Jokic to do is get easy shots for Aaron Gordon. Now, I know if you think about that, that's probably not the biggest high-up thing on your radar, but to me it is because you're going to be working so hard, and Jamal Murray and Jokic are going to get theirs. Like, you can play good defense on both of those guys. I still expect them to get 25 or 30 points, right? And, yo, it don't matter what Davis does, Jokic just has it out for him. But you can't double. You can't double because, to me, you lose to the Nuggets when you double Jokic, because that's when Aaron Gordon gets dunks, lobs to the rim. That's when he starts killing you. As soon as that help comes over, he cuts to the rim, boom, dunk, right? Or he finds the open shooters in KCP, who's going to get up for the game. Y'all remember he was a Laker. He won a championship on the Lakers, on their last Laker championship team. He's going to be a big X factor. His three-point shooting, his defense, he's going to be on D'Angelo Russell, right? Then you look at LeBron. The biggest thing with LeBron is they got to win game one, because as this series goes down, LeBron wears down. And again, it has nothing to do with what I think about LeBron, but he's an older player. And the thing is, and Charles Barkley, I got to give credit where credit is due, older players can be great every other night. But every night, again, he can have a good game every night. But, dog, I specifically remember watching that game in game one, and LeBron played great. They lost by, like, a couple of points. Then the next game, he played really good. They lost again. And as their series progressed, and it was only 2 days rest, he kept wearing down, right? So other guys are going to have to step up, and I'm just not sure about that. Now, there could be a big X factor in Gabe Vincent, who was pretty good in the finals versus Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray is also coming off an injury, so I don't know. You got to pick your poison, and then you don't even forget Michael Porter Jr., right? So let's see who the swing factor players is. Again, for me, it has to be D'Angelo Russell for the Lakers. He has to continue to be the supplementary scorer that, you know, creates for others, that takes the pressure off of LeBron. They can find easy shots for Davis. He can hit three-point shots. He has to continue to play well. For Denver, it's Michael Porter Jr. rebounding, making LeBron work on defense. And LeBron might probably go to KCP. We'll see about that. And hitting three-point shots. But I think for the most part, he did kind of guard Michael Porter Jr., right? But I don't think this game is going to be – I don't know. I think the Nuggets are just better. I think the Nuggets get up for the Lakers, right? If you remember, on that Lakers championship run, they beat the Nuggets on the way to win their championship in the second round. And after that, the Nuggets had the number. And I honestly believe the Nuggets get up for the Lakers, man. So I'm picking the Nuggets to win and then win the series in 5 or 6 games. Show me something different in this dynamic that I need to see, all right? Let's move over towards Sunday. Okay, so Sunday, I could talk about 2 games. So the Thunder's game isn't official, and the Celtics game isn't official. But we'll talk about the other 2 series, Mavericks-Clippers and Pacers-Bucks. With no Giannis, with Giannis, the Pacers and the Bucks were a pretty formidable team. Without Giannis, I don't know. I like the Pacers to beat this team without Giannis. Like, he's the guy they couldn't do nothing with. What did the Pacers struggle with? Points in the paint. What does Giannis do? He attacks the paint. So you got to ask yourself, Bobby Portis has to really be aggressive as far as scoring inside and outside. And though I know his jump shot has been on fire, he can really dog these guys inside, right? That's what they're going to have to do. Damian Lillard has been up and down all season. Well, it's now or never for Dame, right? I do think Dame sometimes plays a little bit better without Giannis because he's a little bit more aggressive. He has the ball more. Again, the way to attack the Pacers is to score inside. We'll see what happens. Damian Lillard's, dribble penetration will be a big key in this factor. I don't know what to expect from Chris Middleton because it's different versions. On one game, we can get 20 points, 7 assists, and 4 three-pointers. And the next game, we get 5 points, a bunch of crying about fouls. I don't know which version we're going to get. I do think Brook Lopez will play well. I think he'll get more shots with Giannis being out. I think the front court advantage is still with the Bucks, right? I just feel like the back court advantage has to be better. Now, for most of the second half of the season, Tyrese Halliburton has not been good, right? He's been injured. He's been slow. He's been missing a ton of shots. Towards the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I thought he played a little bit better. And he gets up for this matchup, right? Without Giannis, I honestly think that the Pacers can beat the Bucks. I just do. Now, Dame could just kind of step his game up and kind of clear that. But I'm going to take the Pacers to win game one, right? Swing players for the Pacers, to me, you're going to laugh at this. TJ McConnell. I think the TJ McConnell versus Patrick Beverley matchup will be huge. TJ McConnell has been amazing off the bench as a scorer, as a facilitator for the Indiana Pacers. He finds guys like Obi Toppin, Jalen Smith, the rest of their guys. And even though there are some injuries that the Pacers are dealing with, I just kind of like them to play an up-tempo, kind of fast, up-and-down game. And I expect Halliburton to be better. If Halliburton isn't hitting his shots and he still looks hampered from that hamstring injury, this is going to be a Bucks matchup. But I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm going to take the Pacers to upset the Bucks. I think the Pacers can win in 6. Now, all of this is null and void if somehow Giannis finds his way on his game by game 3 or 4. Now, to me, and I'm not no doctor, but this injury is going to keep him out for a little bit. If he does not play in the series, I expect the Pacers to win. If he does play in the series, all hands on deck. Last matchup, Mavericks and Celtics. All right, so the last report on Kawhi Leonard's leg or knee is this. So here we go. This is from The Athletic. LA Clippers star had injection in his knee in early April. Leonard missed the final 8 games of the regular season. He is aiming to play game 1. Okay. If Kawhi Leonard does play, or if he does not play, I still believe that the Dallas Mavericks are a better team. Luka gets up for this matchup. But they're much more than a Luka team, right? Kyrie is a number 2 scorer, can take pressure off of Luka. I also love the pick and roll, right? I thought that Gafford has done a really good job. Obviously, we always know he's been extremely efficient, but I thought he's been a really good job as a finisher. And again, outside of Luka and having the best player in the series, which again, I think Luka is at this point, even though he's not more of an accomplished player than Kawhi. If Kawhi is not healthy, it's going to be a problem. Now, if he is healthy, he can be a dominant on the glass. He can do whatever he wants. He can really cause a lot of problems for the Clippers. So here's the thing. To me, it's going to have to be plays about your bigs, right? I am not a fan of Zubac. I think he's slow-footed. I think he misses a bunch of easy shots. I don't see what they see in him. I think Gafford can really make an impact in this series, and I think the Dallas is better. I think they're better. I think they're healthier. Now, on the other side is Westbrook. There is no matchup with Dallas and Westbrook. When he comes in that second unit, there's really nothing they can do, even though they got some good defenders. He's going to play with energy, effort. He's going to look to play downhill, and they're a different team with Westbrook on the court. That 5-man unit of Westbrook, Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and I don't know, Terrence Mann or whoever you want to put at that 5th spot, that's a really good lineup, right? And you're going to think that with the playoffs being, you're going to have at least 2 stars on the court at all times for the Clippers, right? It's always going to be a Paul George and a Kawhi, a Paul George and a James Harden, a James Harden and a Russell Westbrook, right? So if anybody's minutes will get managed, it'll be Kawhi's, but we'll see. And I also believe that small ball is coming, right? I don't think the Clippers are good with their bigs. I think Mavericks are really good with their bigs, so it's very important for the Clippers to play small ball and get up some shots. Now, obviously, when it comes to defensively, as far as Kawhi and Paul George, they can get whatever they want. Now, Paul George shoots a ton of threes. He doesn't look to attack as much as he used to. I think that could change in the playoffs. But to me, it's Luka. Luka's going to be the best player. Whenever he plays them, he does whatever he wants. He gets very hot from the three-point line. If they trap, that's where I go to Gafford. The other thing with Gafford is he's a beautiful secondary passer. What I mean by this is let's say that Luka gets trapped probably 10 feet behind the three-point line. He could do a bounce pass to Gafford. Gafford is really good at doing one or two dribbles and find a corner shooter or finishing at the rim with a teardrop or floater or finishing strong at the rim with a dunk. And I think Gafford is a swing player, right? Kyrie and Luka are on fire. They're very hot rolling into the playoffs. I do believe momentum matters. I'm thinking the Mavericks are going to win this game series in five or six games. Now, that's me not believing that Kawhi is healthy. If Kawhi is healthy, I still pick Dallas to win in six. I just feel like offensively they can get whatever they want. And I don't know, man. This Clippers team is Jekyll and Hyde. Now, I want to be completely wrong. I want the Clippers to come out guns a-blazing, Harden finding guys, not be able to do nothing with them. I think this will be a very high-scoring game. I don't know if there's going to be a ton of defense. But to me, it's going to be about fourth-quarter execution and late crucial turnovers. I'm going to go with the Mavericks. I'm going to go with the Mavericks and six, man. Obviously, I can't talk about the other series because there's things that need to happen. So what I'll do is Friday, I'll talk about the last two series briefly. But I'm going to go over the awards, and we're going to get out of here. So that's it, man. Hope this episode wasn't too long. Some of these episodes are going to get a little long. But again, please like, share, and subscribe. Tell one friend to tell another friend to tell another friend about the Know Your Role Player podcast. Hashtag KNOWYAROLEPLAYER. I'll talk to y'all soon. Y'all be good. Peace!